we may welcome each other again this morning in these circumstances that we were in this week. And now we may be together in God's house. And Psalm 36 says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God, and therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." May that be our portion today. So we begin with prayer and receiving of the Lord's blessing. Our help, Lord God, is in thy name, in thee who has made the heavens and the earth, in thee who keepeth truth forever, never forsaking the works of thy hands. Amen. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us sing now Psalm 276, "The Church in Her Head, Thou, O Lord, art God alone," and what follows in 276, verses 1 through 4. Let us hear the law of God this morning from Exodus chapter 20, and let us follow that with the singing of Psalm 435, verse 9. "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Let's now give our attention to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7. And we'll read the entire scripture there. Matthew 7, the conclusion, including part of the Sermon on the Mount. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote of thine eye? And behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruit ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. So far, the Lord bless the reading of the Scriptures this morning. Let us now join our hearts in prayer to seek God for His blessing upon our gathering. Gracious and devoted Shepherd, Lord of heaven and of earth, the Almighty God, we gather here in thy presence, and we call upon thy name. And will thou, O gracious Lord, enable us to be in the spirit of David of old? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And Lord, despite all that we had to go through as a congregation, as families, as individuals, in this past week, as we stood around an open grave of one of us, as we've seen weakness in Catherine, as we've seen surgery in one of us also, Brother Navis, And despite, Lord, despite what Thou hast seen in our lives, of the many sins in our mouth and our thoughts and our deeds, then Thou hast been favorable and been gracious to us all. Thou hast upheld. Thou hast provided. Thou hast blessed means. Thou hast protected us from worse. And thou hast given us this morning again an opportunity to graciously be together with each other. Enable, Lord, us to stand in awe of Thee and to join, even in whatever circumstances we are, with David in another place where he worshiped Thee. Many, O Lord, are Thy wonderful works and Thy thoughts toward me. Mindful of our human frailty and patience with our sinful faults, that, O God, will sum up again and again the record of Thy dealings with us. Generous in giving and slow to show Thy righteous anger, faithful in loving, genuine in all Thy dealings with us. O God, gather us this morning and take our hearts to where Jeremiah said, "Who would not fear Thee, O King of all nations?" And may so also we enter into that spirit of worship, humility, and adoration of who Thou art and what Thou doest. And yes, Lord, we are here, many of us, with very mixed emotions, as we've gone and seen the grief in the family and the life of Jane, as we've shared it with each other, Lord, and as we do feel also this empty place that has been added in the families of our church. We pray, O God, that Thou, as the Almighty, would lift up all those who are with sorrow and with weakness of body and with sickness. And Lord, may it please Thee to strengthen in our circumstances with a sense of Thy presence and power. We thank Thee for sparing Catherine's ability in the stroke that she experienced. So often, Lord, it ends differently, that she may be with us this morning. And we pray also for Mark, that Thou spare him through surgery and may also be with us this morning. We uplift Ann Nichols, O God, as she's battling again extreme weakness in their body. And please be with her also in this day she cannot share and gather with us in this place of worship. And so be with all those, Lord, who have secret burdens in body or in mind, crosses we carry. Be with those that could not gather with us today, that are at home, perhaps listening, those on journeys in different and distant places. And now, Lord, as we are here also, we come to hear Thy word to us. And the scripture that we have this morning before us, will Thou use it, as undoubtedly Thou hast used it in the lives of millions of Thy church. May it please Thee, O God, to bless us this morning through this scripture. Take hold of us in Thy grace and draw us in Thy power and overcome in us all the resistance and make us willing to receive what Thou art offering in thy holy gospel message to us. Enable us, O Lord, to enter into that opened door into everlasting life. Thou knowest that none of us can genuinely come to faith except thy Spirit indeed generates that faith in us through the Word. None of us, Lord, can have any spiritual life except thou blessest with that spiritual quickening of our hearts. And also none of us, Lord, will value the gold tried in the fire that thou hast held out before us. We will not value the wedding garment of the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ that thou holds out before us in the Scripture. None of us, Lord, will lose our infatuation with these worthless pearls until we may see and experience the power of thy grace in our hearts. And we plead this morning, O precious Lord, open our eyes. Lead us in the straight way, through the narrow gates, in the way that leads to life. Thou knowest how we love the broad way and the easy way, even though it leads to destruction. O God, convert us then, again and again, to turn away from the broad way and from that life that caters to the flesh, and teach us to daily crucify ourselves, deny ourselves, take up thy cross, and follow thee. And so we beg thee, Almighty Lord, exert thy power today, and stretch forth thy hand to heal, commanding deliverances and enlightening the minds of all of us, whether we young or old, and confirm and strengthen thy own work in thy disciples, Lord, and how easily it is for thy children also to wander again into that broad way, Christianity. Oh, give us fresh repentance and a fresh returning, that we may indeed pray as David searches, Lord, and see if there is in us any wicked way, and lead us in the way everlasting. Please open the Scriptures to all those called to preach today. Enable thou us, Lord, to preach as thou preached, simple and clear, and direct and with conviction and compassion. And may through it all, O God, thy name be glorified. So go forth with all the work in mission and evangelism, in the local areas, in the prisons. Lord God, let thy kingdom come and thy name be exalted in the lives of millions today. Uphold the persecuted church, Lord. Give them a sense of thy presence, strengthening their faith and boldness to witness, even though it may cause more suffering. Oh, strengthen us all, O gracious God. So hear our prayers this morning, and will thou enable us to worship thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing together with Psalter 321 about the blessedness of obedience, how blessed the perfect in the way. The four verses of 321, there are today two opportunities to share your offerings. First is the general fund, and the second is the student support fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. those who are in selling and buying houses, they will tell you that there are three important rules that will make you a successful and an important salesman. Location, location, and location. Now that has also an application to preaching. Last time, and I preached to you about the easy way, I am the door. It was an easy door. It was a wide door. There was no difficulty entering that door. The door of Jesus. And some of our good listeners here came to me afterwards and said, but what about the straight gate and the narrow gate? Straight, children, in this case, means narrow. The way it is spelt, as you see in chapter 7, is different than the straight being straight aisle. Straight is narrow. How can it be an easy and a wide gate? As I explain in the symbolism of the tabernacle. And Jesus speaks about a narrow way with a narrow gate. Well, that's a good observation. And it has to do with location. Where do we find this verse of Jesus that we just read from Matthew 7? And I'll read it to you in a moment again about the straight gate. Where do we find it? What is the location? And location or context determines meaning. And where do we find the I am the door, and he that entereth in by me shall find life? Context determines meaning. Let's take that I am the door. That text, Jesus calls attention to the nature of salvation. And it is free. It's also easy because he fulfills all the terms of it. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread. Everything in salvation I supply. That is speaking about the nature of salvation, which is free. But in Matthew 7, Jesus is speaking about the cost of salvation. He's speaking about the nature of discipleship. And that's costly. It is not easy to be a disciple of Jesus. That is a narrow way. That is a straight or narrow gate. That is not like the easy broad way everybody's running on. At least most of them. So there's the contrast. When Jesus speaks about the nature of salvation, that is free. But when he speaks about the nature of discipleship, as he does here in Matthew 7, it is costly. Let's go to the verse that we will consider this morning. It is the end of the Sermon of the Mount. It is, a matter of fact, the application of the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 12 is the formal end of the exposition of the law. It's actually a beautiful confirmation of all we've been learning about the law lately. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would do that men should do to you, do ye also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, congregation, the whole Sermon on the Mount has been one magnificent exposition about the kingdom of God. Begins with, who are the citizens of the kingdom? The Beatitudes. Describes the character of the people who belong to Jesus. Then he moves on from there into the calling of those disciples to be the salt of the world, to be the light of the world. Jesus explains disciples are to be visible. He is indeed very sharply distinguishing what is being religious and godly. He says, a big difference between being religious and godly. He says, except you righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. That's religious. You'll not enter the kingdom. Have any godliness that goes down in the depth of your being, of your heart. And then from that point on in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins to expound the law. You've heard of old that they say, do this, but I say, do this. And the entire Sermon on the Mount is an explanation about the life of sanctification. How we pray, how we give alms, how we fast, how we deal with our neighbor. We don't judge him unless you first take the beam out of your own eye. And finally, he comes to the conclusion of his sermon. And that is summed up in verse 7 of chapter 12. In verse 12 of chapter 7. Therefore, all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law, and this is the prophets. This is all what the Scriptures teach us. Now, after that comes the application. You notice Jesus' sermons come with a forceful, direct application. Searching too. Jesus' preaching is not a beautiful description. You can walk away saying, wow, that was a marvelous exposition of the truth. Wow, that was just an incredible way how he explained that. Beautiful. That's never how Jesus wants you to walk away from a sermon. And if a preacher allows you to walk away from a sermon like that, he's failed. He hasn't done what Jesus does. Jesus nails it down in application, and he is asking for a response. He's asking in every sermon that you do something with what he says. And you know, he concludes the sermon with this well-known parable. He who heareth what I preach and who doesn't do what I preach is an utter fool who builds his house on sand. That's the example. The Lord Jesus always finishes with a call to action. He wants you to be a doer of what he says, not just a hearer. It's either follow me. It doesn't say admire me. Follow me. It didn't say, look, there's the gate. Enter the gate. It doesn't say, it's difficult. Strive to enter into the gate. The word strive in the Hebrew Greek is agonize. Wrestle. Take up the cross. Whosoever entereth into the door. Christ is always looking at application. He doesn't allow us to sit and listen and to walk away. Now also this verse that we will look at this morning then from verse 13 and 14 is a strong application call. Let's read it together. Verses 13 and 14 of Matthew 7, enter ye in at the straight gate. See? Enter in. Don't just admire it. Don't just look at it. Do something. Enter in. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight, that means narrow, is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This message is applicable to every one of us this morning. There's some of you who have already entered the straight gate, who have begun the Christian life by the grace of God, but easily wander off to their Broadway again. It's easy for God's children to go back in the Broadway. One example, Peter. He had walked for a while on this straight and narrow way until he came to that little court there, and he jumped right on the Broadway. And so it may be necessary that we all of this morning ask ourselves, Lord, even though that I may know of thy saving grace, am I walking on the straight, the narrow pathway? And then there are those of us who have not entered the kingdom life. And Jesus urges us to enter. So this morning, the call to discipleship. Let's think about two thoughts. It is costly. It's promising. The picture in itself is quite clear, children. Jesus is thinking about a city with two gates. As a broad and an easy way, it's like the highway. It's smooth, it's easy going, they've carved it out nicely, and it easily leads into the city gate. It's a wide gate, it's easy to find. Not only easy to find because it's so big, but it's also busy. The crowds walk on that one. So you just walk along, flow along with the crowds of people. It's one way of living. Because this gate and this way is simply a description of a way of living. That's how we live. And there's this narrow path, which has also a narrow gate on it. It's difficult to find. It's difficult to walk on. It's not quite so smooth. It's bumpy maybe. There's lots of curves, lots of steep inclines. It ends up into this narrow gate in the city wall. That's the two pictures Jesus places before us. Like I said, the one is busy with much company and the other is not so busy. Few travelers. Then Jesus pictures the end of this Broadway, destruction, death, disappointment, loss. A narrow way, life. And undoubtedly, he there speaks about eternal life. So congregation, what are these two roads? What are these two ways? They're two lifestyles. There's two ways to live. Christ says. There are two responses to his teaching. There's the fleshly way versus the godly way. There's the way that is totally catering to what we like and what feels good and what's exciting and appealing and pleasurable. That's the broad way. It's a lifestyle that flows much easier. I don't have to fight against the current. Just flow along with the current of your natural desires. All that the world suggests, feels nice. That's the lifestyle of the Broadway. That's easy. A lifestyle of the godly way is hard. There is no other word for it. It goes against the grain of our nature. The life on the narrow way is going against the current of your own desires, of your natural liking, of what the world suggests. It's to walk contrary to how everybody else walks, but also contrary to how everyone else wants to go. It's fighting. And Jesus, of course, have used various contrasts to amplify the difficulty of discipleship. Let's go back in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's pick up a few other contrasts. In chapter 5, verse 29 and 30, he already pictures this difficulty. If thy right eye offend thee. Now, the word offend is different than our offend today. The word offend here means leading you astray. If your right eye, something that is very special to you, like a special friend, or a special job, or a special opportunity, or a special job offer, or a promotion, if your right eye is going to lead you astray, if it's going to take you from the right course into the worldly way, into the fleshly way, if it indeed stirs up your heart and your sins, Jesus says, pluck it out. Pluck out my right eye? That's going to be painful. Yes, he says, that is painful. Pluck it out and throw it away. That's very painful. But it is profitable for you that only one of your members, your eye, perish, and not your whole body cast into hell. See? That's the narrow way. That's already the narrow way. That friendship that you have, it's going to lead you astray. You know, it looks exciting now. But think 10 years from now, is it still going to be so exciting? It's going to take you the wrong direction. It's going to bring you in the wrong company. Now, young people sometimes don't think twice. They see this nice guy, this nice girl. They get all filled with feelings. Wonderful fellow, beautiful. I'm going to get married with him. Don't be silly. Not everyone is right to marry to. It could be a right eye and ends up to be a hellish life as you find out too late. That's what Jesus says. The broad way is easy. The narrow way is difficult. But it is in the end much better. And therefore, if your right hand, same thing, offends you, if something is leading you astray, cut it off. Yeah, you have to do that. Nobody else is going to do that, he says. You need to take the knife and cut it off. Self-amputation, mind you, that's the call to discipleship. That's the narrow way. That's the straight gate. In chapter 10, Jesus makes another one of these statements. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. It can be pretty difficult sometimes to confess God before men. Your manager might not like that. Your manager might say, well, if that's how you think, then, sorry, I am not giving you this promotion. I am not going to cater to your requests anymore. If you don't follow my requests and do a little deal for me, then no deal for you either. See? That's confessing his name. Not just sitting in church and singing hallelujah. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the real gritty lids of life and the details of living for him in the public and in the private moments of your life. Him that will deny my name, count on it. It will come back to you. Chapter 10, verse 37 and 39, he goes a little farther. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. All this similar to the narrow gate and the broad gate. Congregation, the fleshly is the most commonly found way of living because it's so easy. What is easier but to indulge your fleshly appetite? What is easier but to indulge these feelings and these excitements rather than to deny yourself the sinful longings and reject the sinful suggestions. I look back at this sermon of Jesus, what is he thinking about when he speaks about the narrow way of life? If someone smites you on the right cheek, it's a lot easier to hit him back on his nose than to turn him the left cheek. See, the broad way is hit back. The narrow way is turn the other cheek. When one of those Roman soldiers is walking by and he says to you, "Hey, young lad, come here. Carry my backpack." And he used to carry it for 1 mile. And when the 1 mile is over, you throw that backpack down and says, "And I've done it, and I'm no doing anymore." That's the broad way. But when you say to the young Roman soldier, "Say, I will carry it for you another mile," that's the narrow way. That's what Jesus is thinking about when he contrasts the two lifestyles. Or when your enemy is just about right before your house and his car breaks down, and you say, "Good." And you close the curtain and you pretend you're not home. That's the broad way. But when your mortal enemy is standing out there with that broken car and you go outside and says, "You let me fix that car for you," and while you do that, sit in sight for a moment in the coolness and have a glass of lemonade, that's the narrow way. See, that's two lifestyles. What's easier? Oh, to let that flesh reign. To let that heart go harder. To let those evil passions take over. That's easy. You don't have to fight that. That goes by itself. But to go against it, that's the narrow way. Or when you see that someone and you judge him unfavorable because of a little sin he did. That's the broad way. But no, when you first look at yourself and you see all these beams in your own life, and now you're judging him much more mild. That's the narrow way. You see, congregation, that's what Jesus is speaking about. "Enter ye into the straight gate." Live this lifestyle that is contrary to the flesh, but live godly. The godly way is hard, is narrow. It is an uphill battle. Is something full of discouragement. You might become a little loner at your work when you live by the standards of Jesus. You might become an outcast in your own family when you live by the standards of Jesus. Because there are few on the narrow way. There are few that live the truly Christian life. They are rare, Christ says. Christianity is all over, but godliness is rare. It goes against our very grain of nature. Take verse 12 again. "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." This is the narrow way of living. This is the straight gate. To love as I desire to be loved when I am tired. Now that's hard. Imagine you come in, husbands. You've had a pretty bad day, and you're tired and sweaty, and you're looking forward to sitting home, and you come home and it's a chaos at home because your wife has hardly been able to manage it. The broad way is to go sit in a lazy boy chair. The narrow way is to put your wife there and says, "Hey kids, let's clean up this place." That is what Jesus is speaking about. The broad way, the narrow way.
Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye so even to them. To serve like Jesus served is the narrow way. See him there in that upper room as he takes off his upper coat and he crawls on the ground with his bowl of water washing the feet of the disciple. That's the narrow way. What the broad way is, when all the others are sitting around the table arguing who of them is the greatest, so who of them is excused, that's the broad way. See, that's the lifestyle. We often think, friends, too much about the broad way. That's the people that go to sports or that are fishing today and are not in church. That's only broad way. Let's not forget, that's true too. But that broad way, that narrow way lies a lot closer. That's right here in church. That's right in our religious life. The way we live. Especially to love like Jesus loved. All men placed on his way, whether they were Jew or Samaritan, churchgoer or church leaver, he showed to them his superior love. And therefore, friends, nothing is more opposed to our sinful, sin-loving, sin-directed hearts than the kingdom teaching of Jesus Christ. The way we are called to walk is narrow, sharp, bumpy, uphill, hot, narrow. All these images that I just say here are only to introduce to us the thought that it is indeed difficult. Just like that man who wants to build a house. Kids, what is he going to do first? He's going to dig and dig and dig. That's hard. Till he gets to the rock. Then he builds the house. He's gone to the hard labor. That's the narrow way. It's a similar parable again at the end of the chapter. So let's sum up this first point. Oh, salvation is free, the door. Discipleship is costly. But let's not think thereby that salvation is easy. That's not what was said in that sermon. The entering of the door was a wide door, an easy door. God has provided everything needed for salvation in and through his Son Jesus. The door is easy, but the problem is with us. Old minister in our churches way back, Reverend Van Dyke, heard that statement so many times when I lived and served in Kalamazoo for so many years. He used to say often this statement, salvation is so difficult because it's so easy. It sounds like a real strange thing to say that. It's a very great truth. Nothing we need to bring. That's as easy. You know what's hard? To bring nothing. That's hard. The righteousness is supplied. We only have to receive it. You know what's hard? To let go of your righteousness. That's the hard part. And without the powerful grace of God stripping us and opening our eyes, we will cling to our own self-righteousness. The way of salvation is easy, but the terms is hard. And what are the terms? Me only, Jesus says. That gate is narrow because no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's hard. That's what our religious flesh resists. And yet it is such a wonderful salvation. It is hard because faith in Christ excludes everything else when it comes to the basis of my salvation. Yeah, but that is not to be confused with our text. Our text doesn't speak about the entry of the way of salvation, but the entry of the way of discipleship. So let's together sing before we look at the second half of the verses, Psalter 190, verse 1 and 2. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust, shamed let me never be. And what follows in 1 and 2 of 190? The Lord has contrasted the way, the broad gate, the broad way, the easy life, letting the flesh reign and flowing along with the current of our own evil suggestions of our heart. The narrow way at counter and fights and battles against the flesh. And then notice that the Savior also directs us to the end of both ways. The one is a promising end, life. The other has a very sad end, destruction. Here you see the lie of the world. The world always lies about easy, joyful, pleasing, and the promises are there. Congregation, open up any newspaper, any day of the week, except today. And you see this verse illustrated every day. That living on the broad way leads to destruction. The way of worldly principles, the way of following the sinful impulses of our heart, always destroys the beauty of life. Always. And generation and generation keeps doing that. We haven't learned at all. Ever since Adam's fall, we have been repeating the same thing over and over. And it's an ever-tiring tale that we read every day. We destroy ourselves by following the way of the flesh. And what does this way of the flesh suggest? Let's just think of it for a moment. Don't back off is one of them. Don't back off. Maintain your rights. You got the rights, maintain the rights. Don't give up. Where does that lead to? That lead to healing things? Or lead to breaking things more? Always destroys, never heals. The broad way of having an unforgiving attitude, having bitterness in the heart, nursing anger about what he or she's done. What's that do to you? It destroys you. The root of bitterness grows deeper and deeper, and it will destroy your life. See it illustrated every week. The shootings, the violence. It's always doing the same thing. It destroys people. See the contrast in the life of Joseph. He didn't seek revenge. He didn't nurse bitterness. By the grace of God, he overcame it and he forgave and was willing to forgive. What does it do? Restores. The way of the broad way always leads to destruction. What happens when you refuse to admit you are wrong? What happens in your marriage? What happens between your fathers, to children with your fathers and your mothers? If you refuse to go back to them and say, Mom, Dad, I was wrong. I take ownership. It will never heal by itself. It will fester like an infection in your body. The broad way destroys life. What will happen when you keep on grabbing as much as you can and you drink as much of the earthly possessions and the worldly pleasures and you indulge the flesh? You know what happens? What happened to Jeffrey Epstein? Finally committed suicide in New York prison. If that's what happened. A lifestyle of abuse, riches, and the man is in hell. And all the millions of dollars and the 6 properties he's left around on the world. What happened to them? There's a crowd of people going to fight about it. Destruction. Always destruction. Everywhere. What does walking on this broad way do to you? Do not draw the wrong conclusions, children and young people. When you look at all the Hollywood people and all the movie stars and all these sports heroes that make the millions of dollars with entertaining, they look so fun and they look so happy and they look so having everything in their fingertips. And it's just the one after the other that topples over early in their life. Drugs, sex, anger, violence, destruction. Don't believe the lie that Satan parades in front of us. Look at the facts. But that's not the only thing. Walking on the broad way destroys your soul. It perpetuates the separation with God. That's the worst. And it will break down any relationship that is beautiful and tender. Marriages are destroyed. How? By husbands and wives not walking on the narrow way of therefore all things whatsoever you would do that men should do to you, do even so to them. Friends, I will be out of work in marriage counseling if that verse would be lived every day. It's just an easy recipe. No, it's not an easy recipe. It's the narrow way. It's the narrow gate. It's against the flesh. But the life that flows out of it, it is absolutely stunningly beautiful. A life of peace and unity and togetherness and closeness and intimacy. See, the broad way ends up in shootings and divorces and abuses and suicides, in splits, and finally, a lost soul in the kingdom of sadness and darkness. That's what Jesus sets before us, and then he sets before us the narrow gate and the narrow way which leads unto life. Life as a promise. No, it doesn't say it may lead to life. It guaranteed leads to life. That's what his promise is. You seek me, you find me. You ask, you'll be given. You knock, you will be opened. You enter into the straight gate in the narrow way and you walk therein, you will experience life. Oh, it's not easy. Godly life isn't easy. Not only a fight against yourself, it's a fight against everybody around you. Do not forget, the more godly you live, the more persecution you may get, the more opposition you may feel, the more hardship you may experience. Not from everyone, but you'll get it. But it leads finally to life. And what life? What is this life? Well, it would be nice to think, of course, that once you've entered through the narrow gate, that you never need to fight the easy and the broad way again. Now, let me point it out for a moment again. That's not reality. This broad way, narrow gate is going back and forth all day. Yeah, you can act at 10 o'clock in the narrow way, and 1 minute after 10 you could be walking in the broad way already. You come out of your personal devotions and you've had a lovely time of the Lord with prayer and meditation, and you walk into the breakfast table, and from the narrow way you hop right into the broad way. We all know these stories. And we say things and do things that are totally uncalled for. And that brings destruction, because the voice and the words bring separation. That's how it is. Yeah, these roads intersect constantly. The reality is that old indwelling nature rebels against Jesus' ways. It's a bitter struggle, friends, to love generously. It's a bitter struggle. It is a bitter struggle to fight against this sinful self. It is not easy to love freely and cheerfully and sacrificially and faithfully and repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly again. It's not easy. But it leads to life. Therefore, Paul keeps preaching. And no doubt he has in mind this broad way, narrow way. When he writes, for example, in Romans 8, "For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace." And later on in verse 12, "Therefore, brethren, if you live after the flesh," broad way, "ye shall die." You will experience separation. "But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body," narrow way, "ye shall live." Same words. You find it all over in the Bible once you see this. This discipleship call. Life. What is the life that Jesus speaks about? Well, first of all, the life of sweet communion with God, my friends, will never be experienced when we walk in Broadway principles, when we act in Broadway manners, when we choose Broadway choices. You will not have communion with God. Your Bible reading will be shallow and dry. Your church going will be a formality. Why? Because God is more tender than anyone else will be. And if I live and act and think and talk in Broadway ways, then your religious exercises are a sham. And God knows that. And you miss the light of communion. There's nothing more beautiful than to live with the smile of the triune God in your heart. And you will never have that when you walk on the broad way. You miss the precious testimony of the Holy Spirit. But as you walk in the narrow way, and you choose, and you walk decisively according to the way of Jesus, yes, you may end up in the fiery furnace, but not alone. You'll have the presence of the Son of God with you. Life. See, that's the life that Jesus speaks about. As we walk into this narrow way, life, you will have the sweet liberty in having an open access to the throne of God. If you walk in the broad way, you'll have no sweet access. No, Paul or John writes it, beloved, if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence to approach God freely. And perfect love, walking in the narrow way, casteth out fear. What a beautiful life to have this access to the Father's throne. Even though you may have a hard life on this small, narrow way, and opposed and rejected, oh, none of them had that more than the Apostle Paul, as he faced the incredible oppositions that this man of God faced. But let's listen to him, how he experienced it. We're troubled on every side, not distressed. Why is that? Because he feels life. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. You see, that's the life. He feels the nearness and the presence and the upholding of God, no matter how difficult the way is for him. Life is a life of unspeakable joy and full of glory as the Holy Spirit sheds abroad His love in the heart of those that walk on that narrow way. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, that's the narrow way. My Father and I will come to you, and we will make our abode in you. You'll never get that when you live according to the Broadway principles. But Jesus has promised it. When we may live according to His will, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit will have sweet communion. And that makes Thomas Brooks say, God's children have the best of both worlds. Here, spiritual communion. Hereafter, life in glory. For finally, when God takes His people home, there comes life in its fullest and in its everlasting dimension, forever and ever. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Why are there so few that find it? That's a simple answer. It says it in verse 7 and 8. Because there are so few that seek it. There are so few that ask, help me, Lord, in these moments, and knock, constantly on the door of grace for this grace, power, and spirit to live and to act on a narrow way life. Come, congregation, let's heed these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not walk away this morning as the people did. For when we read in verse 28, it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. That's all. They heard a beautiful sermon, but we don't have much evidence that they were wise builders. Will you be like that? Maybe astonished as you thought, wow, that's a new way of looking at this verse. Jesus looks for doers. May he bless his word. Amen. Faithful and gracious teacher, prophet, thou hast given us this morning the application passage of this sermon, and we pray that thou would accompany it, Lord, with such power that we may not just be astonished, but that we may be converted from broadway life into narrow way life. O God, teach us indeed that salvation is free, and therefore that we must part with all of ours, will we ever obtain it. It's not to be bartered, not to be bought, but to be received only. But I was pointed out this morning that the call to discipleship is costly. But what a sweet promise, that whosoever loses his life for thy sake shall find it. And whatsoever we give up, Lord, for thy name's sake, it shall be restored a thousandfold. O God, help all thy children to look beyond the moment and the next moment and the many, many next moments of our life to the beyond this life and sweet, exceedingly sweet, is the life with thee. O God, teach us then to live out of thee and to live unto thee, that one day we may live with thee in a better place than this sick and broken, self-destroying world. Hear us, Almighty. Pardon our sins. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Psalter 35, verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. Since with my God with perfect heart I walk, and make his word my guide. And what follows in 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 35.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Most High. Let us go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.